This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. President Joe Biden has declared that the G7 summit in Britain was an extraordinarily collaborative and productive meeting that made progress on fighting the coronavirus pandemic, reviving the global economy, and calling out China by name for its bad behavior. Speaking to reporters on Sunday, Biden praised agreements on tackling corruption, fighting ransomware, and ending public financing for coal projects. Leaders of the G7 on Sunday signed a declaration vowing to end the coronavirus pandemic and reinvigorate the global economy with $12 trillion of support put in place during the pandemic. The concluding statement, known as the Carbis Bay Declaration, recognizes the need to tackle the roots of the pandemic on a global level. The aim is to slash the time needed to develop a vaccine for a pandemic virus to less than 100 days. Nations participating in the summit include Britain, the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan. It's a grouping of the world's wealthiest democracies, known as the Group of Seven. They were joined in the discussion on global health by leaders of India, South Korea, South Africa, and Australia, as well as the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. President Biden and his wife had tea with Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle on Sunday after the end of the G7 summit. He's wrapping up the British leg of his first international trip since taking office. Biden and his wife became the fourth president and first lady the Queen has received at Windsor. And during her record-holding 69 years on the British throne, she has now met 13 U.S. presidents. Biden heads off to a NATO summit in Brussels on Monday, a U.S.-EU summit on Tuesday, and on Wednesday he meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva. VOA News. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 12-year hold on power has ended. It ended Sunday when Parliament approved a new government of improbable allies in a nation divided over Netanyahu's departure. But at a session of the legislature ahead of the vote, Netanyahu loyalists shouted shame and liar and frequently interrupted the man set to replace him, nationalist Naftali Bennett. Netanyahu is the most dominant Israeli politician of his generation, but he had failed to form a government after a March 2030 election, which was the fourth in 2 years. Bennett is a hawkish, high-tech millionaire. He heads a new administration that includes left-wing centrists and Arab legislators. His government, including for the first time, a party that represents Israel's 21% Arab minority, plans largely to avoid sweeping moves on hot-button international issues such as policy toward Palestinians. It will instead focus on domestic reforms. Pope Francis is demanding that humanitarian aid reach hungry people in the war-torn Tigray region of northern Ethiopia, where Ethiopian and Eritrean soldiers are blocking food and other assistance. Francis called for an immediate end to fighting in Tigray, the return of social harmony, and food for all food aid and health care assistance to be guaranteed. Speaking at his Sunday noon blessing, Pope Francis said he was thinking of the people of Tigray who have been struck by what he called a grave humanitarian crisis that has exposed the poorest to famine. The United Nations and aid groups say more than 350,000 people in Tigray face famine, and 2 million more are a step away from the worst famine since 2011 in Somalia. A top official in the European Medicines Agency said it might be worth abandoning AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine for all age groups where alternatives are available. In an interview published on Sunday, Marco Cavalleri, the EMA's head of vaccine strategy, also told Italy's La Stampa newspaper that the Johnson & Johnson shot should be preferentially used for people over 60. Both so-called viral vector vaccines are authorized for everyone over 18, but have been dogged by reports of rare blood clots. The EU has also authorized two mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna. And Lebanon's currency crashed past a milestone Sunday, reaching a new low against the dollar. The country's financial meltdown and political deadlock carries on, as market dealers say the Lebanese pound was trading at around 10% of what it was worth just 2 years ago. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.